Welcome to the MSP Law Podcast, where we share legal tips and strategies that help managed service providers and technology firms build a better defense. I'm your host, Tom Favinsky.
Many contracts have a force majeure covenant that seeks to relieve a party from performing their obligations when circumstances exist that are beyond their control and which make the performance of their duties just impossible. These extreme events are referred to as force majeure events. For example, a flood, a war, a terrorist act, earthquake, hurricane, but also sometimes it includes epidemics and governmental interference or actions. All of this can impact a party's ability to deliver services, and sometimes the clause will even go broader, and it will say something like acts beyond their reasonable control or acts of God. If the contract doesn't contain a force majeure clause, courts will make a decision on whether or not to excuse performance based on the foreseeability of the event. To provide certainty between the parties, the parties will sometimes negotiate what the force majeure clause will mean so that they don't have to risk a court determining foreseeability. So the first thing you need to do is you need to read your contract to see if you even have a force majeure clause. If you have a force majeure clause, your performance may be excused. Also, the performance of the other party may be excused. So you got to look at the language of your contract. Your contract has a provision, then you want to look for four distinct parts. First, the first part generally is the language that excuses the party from performing the contract. So you want to make sure that that exists. If it's limited at all, you want to look at that limitation. Second, it will list out what force majeure events are. So whether or not a pandemic or epidemic or a governmental order will constitute a force majeure event, it might just be put in the contract itself. So you need to just look at the contract. Third, we want to look at if there's any notification obligations. So sometimes these events are not an event that is happening to total society. Sometimes it may be your labor union goes on strike or something along those lines where it's peculiar to one party and not the other. So you may have an obligation to notify. Fourth, it will detail the remedies that the affected party has. And also their obligations to mitigate or try to limit the damages they experience. So you got to look at that contract to determine whether or not you have that in place. Whether or not COVID-19 crisis qualifies as a force majeure event or an act of God is going to be under that contract, or it may be just left up to the courts. But when we're interpreting that contract, got to look at the language of the contract, the specific manner in which the COVID-19 would affect performance and how that relates to it, and whether or not the government a governmental entity issuing an order like a shelter in place qualifies. If there's equipment involved in the services that you're providing and the supply chain has been delayed, that may constitute an excused event. Whether or not your project personnel are simply unable to work because they're ill or they're subject to the quarantine, or a government-issued stay-at-home order, if that qualifies pursuant to the language of the contract. Even if your contract doesn't have a specific force majeure clause, there are some other potential excuses for performance for both you and for the other party. Supervening events, or events that occur following the execution of the contract, but prior to completing performance, that's that little window in time, you've signed it, but now something happens and you haven't started performance. You can have performance excused if you can demonstrate that performance is impossible, impracticable, or this qualify for this legal doctrine referred to as frustration of purpose. In any of these defenses, the event has to happen without the fault of either party. So you can't create an event that makes it impossible, impractical, or frustrates the purpose of the contract. The non-occurrence of that event, too, also has to really be one of the basic assumptions of the parties, that they weren't expecting a pandemic. So if you have signed one of these contracts and it happened on March 13th, hey, COVID-19 was already alive and well on March 13th. You're going to be out of luck on these defenses. Let's first take a look at impossibility. For a party to succeed on the defense of impossibility, performance must really be impossible. Not just inconvenient, not just financially difficult, not just without profit. It's got to be impossible, regardless of the efforts that are made. Performance just can't happen. A court will come in that situation and may say performance can be excused because they simply just have no way of doing it. Performance is not going to be excused simply because performing will be more expensive or harder to maintain. Next, let's go to impracticability. For a party to succeed with impracticability, they have to demonstrate that performance with the supervening event is just materially changed, and the performance of the obligations is substantially more difficult, materially more difficult. It's more complex or substantially more complex, or it's significantly more challenging, such that these changes result in excessive or unreasonable increase in their performance cost. It's sometimes referred to as commercial impracticability, meaning that a party's cost of performance has increased to the point where it just doesn't make sense. It's just not commercially reasonable to do this. The defense of impracticability has limited application, though, where the supervening event merely renders the performance more expensive. It has to really be unduly burdensome, and it can't be just increased cost of performing to fulfill your contract. Now let's move to frustration of purpose. That's another defense. Normally, we're going to see that frustration of purpose on the person that's receiving the goods or services. And, you know, for instance, they have launched a new location that is unable to act due to a shelter-in-place order. You've gone in and outfitted their new environment, and the start date was scheduled for April 1st. The contract was entered into on February 15th. The window that they need to have operations would be April 1st to July 1st. Maybe it's for, you know, a state fair or something like that. Something where it's a short window. Well, the whole purpose of this was for that event. That event's not occurring. You don't need to render services because the event's not occurring. And they're saying you can't hold us to it, as an example. It's a very limited excuse, but it results when a supervening event makes the purpose for it is just not there. Performance isn't impossible. They could pay you for establishing that lab. But the reason for the transaction, the underlying reason that both parties understood, just doesn't exist anymore. So performance remains possible. It's just being excused because nobody, neither party, would have entered into this contract had they known the supervening event would have occurred.
Well, that's it for this episode. This is Tom Popinski. I'm an attorney with Virtus Law. My team is called the MSP Law Team. We serve MSPs and we'd like to chat with you. Feel free to reach out to us by email. My contact information is Tom, T-O-M, at Virtus Law, D like Victor, I-R-T like Tom, U-S, like United States, L-A-W.com.